Hello everyone and welcome to a festive edition 237 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk really does know Formula One, and I think we've proven it over the last year or seven. Kyle, 7 years?
7 years,
I reckon.
Seven seasons, yeah.
Seven seasons.
Wow.
I might have lied.
Just don't ask it.
Six? Seven? Let's call it seven.
Six and a half.
Stop it. This is your F1 podcast, straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat here at the iconic Rushcutters Public House on the outskirts of Norwich, where Team Lotus's very own Colin Chapman and motorsport legend Graham Hill once shared a pint. That's why Norfolk is F1 awesome. It's not me swearing.
In this very corner as well, I reckon.
Do you reckon it was here?
Yeah. Almost.
I think so, yeah.
Almost certainly.
Yeah, it looks like where they'd have... hidden. We are, of course, also going out on Future Radio. Are we still going out on Future Radio,
yep.
Steve?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What are you laughing for, Carl? Just a check-in. Thanks for doing that all season.
Yeah, no, good. Yeah.
Appreciate it. We are across all our podcast channels as well. So we are on Audio Boom and we are on Patreon as well, and wherever and hereever and however the things. And we are also at the Rushcutters to eat, which will be a feature of this of the evening. Yeah. This is, of course, how we do our end-of-season podcast. We all get around a table, far too many of us for an actual logistical, practical podcast, and we eat food during it. But that is the way we roll when we wrap up, which is our main task tonight, wrapping up the 2018 Formula One season. What a year. Coming up, everything that happened in 2018 that we can remember. That's the task. Fortunately, it's not just reliant on me, though, because my memory is shot to bits. But I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening to you. And I am joined by seven other podders. And it would have been eight had Phil Gray's wife not become embroiled in some kind of pre-labour. I'm not exactly sure on the details. And he's at the hospital at the moment. He might turn up. That's the exciting bit. He might turn up here. Hopefully not if something proper is happening, because Phil, don't come here then. Stay with your wife. But we all obviously hope everything's okay and wish them all the very best. And maybe by the next time we do a podcast for the new year, we'll have baby news. That would be exciting. I hope so. It should be well overdue if not, actually, thinking about it. So let's hope that happens. Anyway, I'm rambling. It's a good start. I am joined then by... let's find all your intros. Reigning three times NRF1 Prediction League champion, but bloody hell did he f*** it off this year. Steve Rust!
You really
didn't care this year, did you, Steve?
No, I abstained.
Abstained. Was that because it wasn't going very well, or because you'd had enough?
I just forgot to start with. Brilliant. And then when I remembered, I thought, what's the point?
That's the passion we love here.
Nico
Rosberg.
I've gone too far behind, so
what a quitter. You and Nico should go and have a drink one day.
Don't insult me.
We've also got Norfolk's own Italian, Alessandro Esafu Magali, which is, of course, Alex to us. Hello, Alex.
Hi, good evening.
You had pictures of your rabbit drinking wine. That's exciting.
Yeah, he's a good alcoholic. It's a good rabbit.
Alcoholic?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, 100%.
There's a definite pun there, but I can't think of it just now.
Alka-rabbit-holic.
What, alka? Does that work?
I'm not too sure.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. I've got to cut that bit out now, have I, Callum? Right, brilliant. Damon Hill Radical and blogger, Blogs on Wheels. That's right, isn't it? Richard Baxter, hashtag points haul.
Good evening.
I've knocked over the menu, but thankfully not a drink yet. It could happen.
It's the festive drinks menu, so you're halfway there.
This is true. You were recalling what I did last year, weren't you, Rich?
Yeah, and you kind of helped out the bar staff massively. You're carrying this tray of six or seven drinks.
Five, but I'll take seven.
So it's probably the same length as the podcast has been going, I don't know. But and yeah, the last step, and... a wind out of nowhere just knocked them all over. I don't know what happened, but
I still don't know what happened. It's a bit like Seb in Japan. Is that right? Have I got that reference right? No, Germany. Yeah, see, absolutely flawed. This is going to be.
It begins with a J.
Yeah, it's close enough. There we go. It's a good start.
Was it Ericsson's fault?
Yeah, yeah. That would have been a better reference. Yeah, fair points to it. There we go. And by the way, that amount of drink all went over me last year, so everyone else was perfectly fine. I was absolutely drenched. Cheers, Rich. Anyway, thanks for that. We also have McLaren forever hopeful Nathan Tuck. Is that what? I thought I made a cup of... no. Hang on, I've got two intros for you, Nathan. How about that?
Well, let's have both intros. What's the other one?
The other one's another McLaren fan. It's a fair cop for Nathan, the Tuckster Tuck.
Which do you prefer?
The second one, I think.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Neither's good. Have you enjoyed your first year with us?
One podcast, yeah. I managed to get one in before the end of the season. So, but yeah, that was great.
That was good. I mean, DT turned up for a three-course meal last year. I think he did. Who, by the way, is in Florida at the moment, having a whale of a time. He's gone he's gone beyond us, hasn't he? He's like going on Florida. He's got the I don't know what he's doing, all sorts of stuff with cars now.
Yeah, he seems to be driving quite a few nice cars over there at the moment. So
yeah, he's allowed to, or he's just on, is it Grand Theft Auto? He's just going around.
Could be, yeah, exactly.
I saw he's been driving another Mustang out there. So
has he? You're a bit jealous.
Don't need to be jealous. I'm not going to ramble on about it.
Yes. That's brilliant. Well, geez, we'll get that one.
Go on. I was going to tell you how the 2018 version, which is a facelift, isn't as good as the previous models. But I'm not going to get going on that because this will be an extra hour longer than it needs to be. So
we'll save that for the extra bonus podcast that you can record yourself. Yeah, there is a blog. Yeah, we'll share the blog, Rich. We'll share the blog. We, of course, have another 2018 NRF1 newbie and a man who got married this year, which is always exciting. It's Stuart, as in Jackie Muller. I like that. That's probably one of my favourite ones.
I like that. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing? All well?
Yeah, all good, thanks. No Titan tonight, sorry.
No, it is a shame. But that's a lovely shirt. That's a good quality shirt. I like that.
Thank you.
Where's it from?
H&M.
I knew it was going to be H&M.
Other shirt suppliers are available.
Right, yeah. if you sponsor us, you are. That's the way. Of course, we also have... No, that's your brother. Don't read that one out. Imagine if I wrote and read out your brother's intro, Callum. Yeah. Budding F1 engine... No, F1 blogger, Dan's brother. I've got in brackets here, so that's quite rude, isn't it? And the man Hamilton fans love to hate, Callum Springle. They don't surely still love to hate you, do they, Callum?
I think they're not really that bothered anymore. Oh well.
Keep going. Keep pushing the buttons. It'll happen. Don't worry about that. And of course, two times Beckles champion. I've just the champion of Beckles. Forget the karting. Car comes.
Meek how as well.
You agree? Yeah. The footballer, not the lead singer of Coldplay. Any non-Norwich City listeners out there might wonder about that.
Slightly confused, but yes.
Indeed.
Hello.
All good?
All good. Yes. Thank you very much.
How was your 2018 racing year?
It's more testing than...
Yeah? What, for 2019?
We'll see. Hopefully. Hopefully.
You got that sort of Haas glint in your eye when you've got a little story.
No. I'll see what happens.
He has.
He's already got the jacket, so...
Yeah. This is true, actually. We should get, but you're wearing... Now, hang on. Didn't you tell us last time you're not supposed to mention this?
Technically, yeah.
Because you're not supposed to have it. Wherever it is, Haas jacket.
That is correct, yes. I cannot... Yeah.
You're not allowed to walk around with it, are you? Yeah. Don't be pictured in it.
Yes.
Oh, that's a shame.
Can't be packed in it.
No, because you're not a member of the team.
True.
So if we do go to Silverstone next year, could you bring it with you? Do you think they'll have changed it by next year?
Oh, yes. It's, I think it's 2016.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so.
I mean, we'll see. You mean, if they'd be like, well, who's this guy racking up in two-year-old kit? There we go.
Hopefully drinking three cans of Rich Energy by then.
Yeah, I'd like to think you'll get a big case. Share them with us if you do.
If
they exist. Have you seen a can of this stuff yet?
Not yet, no.
But you sound hopeful.
I'm sure they exist. Yes.
You are.
Yeah.
Well, good. And hopefully you're not the only one who's been assured they exist either. Well, there we go. That's the end of the podcast. We've done all our interview. Not really. We're going to review the season, but we're going to do it in a slightly unusual framework, mainly because, you know, it's hard planning all these things. Rich Baxter, you've done a wonderful job of developing a load of awards categories for the season, which we're hoping will stimulate a load of 2018 Formula One debate. It's fair to say, also coming up, we'll have a look at the Fantasy League standings. I haven't checked those, so that's going to be a bit of a surprise. Callum's already laughing at how they ended up. I imagine we were because we were all year. I have completed the Prediction League standings in terms of every Grand Prix winner, and also the patrons who, of course, do pay to enter. They can win their prizes. How those final standings look. There'll be the complete final standings that go up after this podcast, but then we can go through the main crux of the Prediction League. So that's very exciting. Of course, no one else knows how that finished up either, and I've forgotten, but I have worked it all out and I have written it down, I hope. So that's all good. And we'll probably have a quick look forward to 2019, of course, as well, and hopefully cover all the bases in between. That's my plan anyway. But Rich, you're going to be the master of ceremonies, I think, for this awards. So don't look worried. All I want you to do is tee up which award we're going to do, and we'll then just have a big old discussion about it, which is good, and hopefully we'll cover all the bases. But first of all, let's just chip in with how this season rated. So the floor is open. Put your hand up or something so I get the mic to you. But this season, 2018, did we enjoy it? Because looking back at some of the things I've had a quick flick through, I think it was a really good season, but maybe not at the top end, we didn't run as long as we wanted to in terms of competitive action and things like that. So, Rich, you're nodding, your mouth's open, go for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually looking back today at the results from the season. I mean, looking through the first half of the season especially, it was everywhere. I remember there was a chance, there was, at the beginning, we were saying about the chances for Ricciardo winning the World Championship, or Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Ricciardo.
That's it. Alex?
Yeah, Ricciardo.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
And he's Italian.
So. I tried. But yeah, you know, we're kind of saying potentially he could win the World Championship and stuff. So it was one of those seasons where it started where it was all ready to go, but then towards the end, obviously, it kind of finished before the end of the season, which isn't the best, but it's what happens these days.
That first half, though, was actually a title race.
Yeah.
Of varying different people vying for the position, rather than just one person running away with it. So it's always good.
Yeah, a lot of the second half of the season was still pretty close. I think there was four races in a row where Hamilton won, and that's when it really turned around. But the vast majority of it was good. Different winners, good racing. Yeah, I think it had everything. So
yeah, I'd give it an 8 out of 10 if I had to sort of score.
Straight in with the rating, love it.
Yeah.
Steve.
I mean, it's kind of echo really what Rich says. I mean, like, the title race kind of really was the first half, but at that point, I mean, it could have been, we could have sat here and said it was going to be Vettel, and couldn't, you know, so it was all pretty close. But I mean, even towards the end of the season, you know, I mean, the things started to chop around. I mean, Mercedes dipped a little bit even after the championship was won, or before it, I can't remember, it's been that much for a long season, one of the two. No, I think it was before it, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, and then they finished it the last couple of... Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there was loads of different winners, different podium finishers, you know. It had a bit of everything. I suppose it was one of the better ones in recent years, I think.
I remember us talking about a period of races where it's like, oh, this is brilliant. Every race is so good. And then we had another period where it's like, oh, we're getting these really rubbish races. What are they going to do to change from... So it felt a bit like we sort of had a little bit of everything as well in just the ebb and flow of the season. And I think as us all as Formula One fans who maybe are not particularly fair weather, we love the sport, we don't really mind that, do we just like the ebb and flow of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's not just a title fight as well, you know, you've got the midfield, constant fights in the midfield which produce some fantastic racing, and yeah, it's all positive really. I think a really good season, actually really enjoyable. And yeah, it petered out towards the end, but I think, you know, fans got some good value for money this season and some really good racing. And this, you know, looking forward to next season is, you know, even more exciting, isn't it?
We'll get on to that.
It's not too much to add, but I think just those European races, the sort of ebbing and flowing, and at that point, summer break, we didn't know where it was going to go. And unfortunately, Vettel and Ferrari kind of messed things up, sort of admittedly onwards. But yeah, it's a good season. Good season.
I'm going to break the mould a bit.
Oh, Callum, come on. Was it all Lewis's fault?
Well, it was quite an average season, really, partly because there was no real title race after Italy, which is a good half of the season, by the way.
Yeah, everyone, for God's sake.
And actually, the good races that we got aren't because the cars are good. The good races we got was because something crazy happened. Whereas actually, if you look at the races, it was all because the cars are So if you're not going to have cars that can loosely follow each other, then going forward I don't see how you're going to expect particularly good racing.
Are you getting me miserable for next season already, Callum?
Well, no, because the aero regs are changing a bit, but the effect that they're going to have can be overstated quite easily.
Love it. That's all right.
Yeah, they could turn out to be right.
Alex.
I agree with the guys. First half, very good. Second half, BAU. That's all I can say, to be honest. Just business as usual.
Ah, thank you. Is that an Aviva term?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I'm going to use that like in my everyday life.
Yeah,
that's great.
Next time Nathan arrests someone.
BAU.
BAU, yeah. Yes, classic stuff.
What are you doing, Governor? BAU.
Classic stuff. So Hamilton just leading it, winning it, and Vettel cocking up as usual. Yeah, that's it, really.
Is that the tide turning as a Ferrari fan?
It's just sadness, I would say. I mean, I hope next year they're going to show up something different. They showed at the beginning of the season that they can improve a little bit. But I don't know. I hope they can do something different next year.
I can sense that in your voice very much. Well, so
too much singing.
Too much, yeah, it's all that Italian national anthem, eh, Rich? Right.
How long ago was that now?
That was
about
4 years. Never long enough. Never long enough ago.
Last season, definitely the season before last.
I think we did a 2016 best of moments. We won't do that this year because I haven't kept on top of it. But we did a 2016 best of moments. It's definitely in there. I might share that because that was an epic year for the podcast. If we were going to rate podcast years, 2016 was an absolute classic. This has been very good, by the way. And next year is going to be f-ing awesome. Just you wait. Well, I tell you what, before we get stuck into the award ceremony, remember, we do have social media channels and we'd love to get you involved in them. And likewise, they're going to be the best place to keep an eye on what we're doing over the winter break. Yes, we do have one of those, just so you're aware. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, where there's a page and a group. The handle to find all those is at the NRF1. And we've had some lovely emails. We haven't replied to as many of them as we'd like, of course. So apologies if you sent this in and we haven't got back to you. But please keep them coming because we love reading them and they're a great vessel to speak to us and get involved. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the address. And the website, which of course is the first port of call for everything, nrf1.uk. Well, we're just about to record the part, second part, but we've just got getting some of our food arrival, which is obviously a very important part of the podcast. Callum, what have you gone for there?
I've got a rump steak and chips.
Never seen him so happy. None of this reasonably. Straight in with the rump steak. That's the only time I'll do an impression of you, Callum, don't we? Yeah. Rich is getting jealous. Tell us the story, Rich. What's happened?
I had some dinner before I came out, that's the story. But I'm now getting a smell and it smells really good.
That's the way to do it. Now, what is that? Alex, what are you doing there?
I don't know.
Festive burgers. Nathan's having a festive burger. Well, I like commentating on this bit. This is one of my favourite bits of the season. I'm sure Ben Edwards would too. And there's Kyle going in with another festive burger. And a gourmet burger is Steve. I remember that. Happy with that, Steve?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Very nice. Alex was just tipped out as you've got a turkey roast dinner. Lovely, Christmas, festive. Picked up his Yorkshire pudding and was dripping the gravy from inside the Yorkshire pudding over the rest of his dinner. I've never seen scenes like it. Stuart, you've already eaten as well, haven't you?
I have. Everything looks so damn good, though.
Smells amazing.
Wow.
And much like last year, mine is the only one that hasn't arrived. Maybe they've forgotten. Right then, I'm going to hand us over to our Master of Awards Ceremonies, our Mac. All right, Callum, all right.
Watch the copyright infringements.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fine. If they haven't got us before. Richard Baxter, a.k.a. PointsHaul, hashtag. Rich, would you like to take us through the first award?
So, the first one is, links and nicely to what we were talking about, was Race of the Season.
Well done for remembering what we were just talking about.
Basically, to put it in blunt terms, our favourite race this season.
Okay, well, what we can do is we can have this discussion and then we can see if we gave it the right rating. Because I've got the race ratings here then. Well, Rich, go on, do you want to give us yours first? And then let us know if you want to chime in.
There's a few that I'm going to chuck in there. Because I want to start. My personal favourite from this year, I think, was probably Monza. Good race. It was very entertaining throughout. Other ones which were also up there: Silverstone, Azerbaijan, Germany, Brazil, US, and China.
So you're hedging your bets there quite a lot.
So I've opened it right up because I was looking back today and there was quite a few good races we had for one reason or another. But I think Monza was probably my favourite one.
I didn't watch Monza live, and therefore I'm probably automatically drawn to Baku, which most of you lot will probably feel is artificial or not. But go on. Alex, you're Italian.
Yeah, well, the first one for me is Baku, to be honest. And second goes Monza. I think Baku was the top one for me.
Okay, who's agreeing with Alex?
Yeah, definitely. Me and Rich were like WhatsApping it like, together sort of thing, and it was so much fun, it really was. And yeah, definitely up there, but also, yeah, shout out to Monza as well, because that was fantastic.
I think I'm going to throw Interlagos into that as well.
Ooh.
Like as mentioned there, I thought that was a thoroughly enjoyable. Well, sometimes I watch a race and it kind of just drifts by and it just seeps away and I don't really think it's that great. But that for me just had me gripped. There was just all sorts of stuff going on. You had Verstappen having a fantastic drive. Hamilton still won by some ridiculous reason, really. But and we had qualifying was even good. You had like Seb doing his Weybridge Gate thing, just Yes, I enjoyed that one.
Love it, love it.
I enjoyed Baku just because Baku's mad. Just, yeah, just creates great racing. But just purely racing point of view, and Hamilton versus Raikkonen, it has to be Monza for me. It was just Hamilton was sort of roughly within a second of Raikkonen for most of the race, then overtaking him. And there was a huge shift in the championship battle as well. So I'll go for Monza.
I'm going to go for Bahrain.
Sell it, Callum, sell it.
Well, like, you know, strategy, some crazy going on, and the race being decided by less than about a second or so, and going into the last lap not knowing who's going to win is sort of, it was like watching a Super GT race,
which we all do, obviously.
Yeah, everyone should, because it's the best.
You sell it too, right? And how did Jensen get on?
Won the championship.
There you go. And what's he doing next year?
Super GT.
Is he?
Yeah.
Why does that work with him being on Sky F1 coverage?
Well, it's a marketing thing, isn't it? I mean, it's quite easy to say, oh, we've got such and such world champion joining us for 21 races, when actually, in reality, it's more like 14 or 15.
It's a lot of races, though.
It's a lot of races. Kyle's happy. How about you, Steve?
Silverstone, for me. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't disagree with what the others said, to be fair, but maybe I'm a little bit more biased being Silverstone. But, I mean, it was a good race. It was obviously disappointing from my perspective what happened on the very first open seconds. But then to see, or to watch Hamilton then race all the way through, yeah, it was pretty good.
All right, well, let's just tie this... I've spoken to everyone there, haven't I? Let's just tie this in with our race ratings of the season that we gave after each race. At the very bottom was Monaco, 5.25 out of 11, of course, our listeners will know.
Well, please, Ped.
Well, please, Ped. It's not much of a gimmick, is it? If it's Spain was then on 5.3, and then it was Russia on 5.5. One of the predictions we had for Russia, that it was going to snow. If only it had. If only it had at Sochi. And then bang at the other end. I mean, it's fair to say that Bahrain 8.5, so bang in the middle. Callum, well, a bit higher than the middle, but not
blasphemy.
China actually got more. 8.6.
China got more than Bahrain. Yeah, the race after Bahrain got a higher rating. Britain, Silverstone got slightly more, 8.925. Must have been a curious bit of maths I had to do there. And at the very top end, fourth best was Germany, 9.425, and Seb obviously driving into his wall. Then we had a joint second with Monza and the USA. And then top of the list was Baku, as we rated, because that's what we do, at 11.35 out of 11, which was still lower than the 12 out of 11 it got the year before. So there we go. Brilliant. Well, I don't know what we've decided there, Rich. Do you want to be as master of ceremonies, Mac? Do you want to be the adjudicator?
I think on an average, that probably goes to Baku.
Okay, fair dues. You could have just given it to Monza and been a bit dictatorial if you wanted. But there we go. Right, what's our next award, Rich?
The next one is Overtake of the Season. And this is the point where I'm going to give... I mean, I'm not in control of the prediction league, but I'm taking it over and I'm going to give a bonus point to whoever says...
Oh, no, I've already worked it out. You can't do that.
To whoever says Ocon for his overtake on Verstappen.
Or the one that sent him in a little spin. Amazing. Yeah. I'm trying to unlap himself.
Not much of an overtake.
But no, yeah. Overtake of the season, i.e. best overtake we saw this season. The one that stood out, I thought, was Ricciardo on Bottas in China.
Ciao.
If anyone remembers it.
Yeah, this is the problem with this one, because it's hard to try and picture it. Can you sort of half describe it?
It was late in the race, 10 laps or so to go. Yeah. Ricciardo was sixth or so, charging through the pack. A few laps to go, there was a space going into a right-hander. Bottas really closed the door. There was just enough space for a Red Bull to get through, and Ricciardo did it late on the brakes, threw it up the inside, just squeezed it through.
See, it's come back to me now you've explained it, which I love. Brilliant. Well, that's a great shout. Anyone else with other shouts?
I got Verstappen on Vettel, on Brazil. I think it was a great heat, more the one the lap after was, who was it, Hamilton?
Yeah,
just one of those, so two anyway. Yeah, just it was so great.
Yeah, good shout. Okay, any others?
Got a list of three.
Oh, brilliant, well done, Carl.
And it was Hamilton's triple overtake in Bahrain.
Now that was the one that was in the back of my mind. Yeah,
yep, early on.
About that one.
Hamilton's overtake of Kimi Raikkonen in Monza.
Yes.
First corner. And what I forgot about until I watched some highlights was Verstappen at Silverstone. Kimi Raikkonen I think it was after one of the few safety cars. Kimi Raikkonen overtook him down the Wellington straight, and Verstappen went around the outside of him. Woodcut.
Yes.
There's no DRS or anything. That was, I think, the tyres were relatively samey and a number of laps, and yeah, he just mugged off Raikkonen. So, but I'll go for Verstappen at the three.
Might be my good shout. Love that.
I'd say, I mean, well, Rich nabbed mine, so
that's okay. You're allowed to agree with him, Callum. Don't worry.
Do I ever agree with anyone else? But yeah, I'll go with the same race and say Ricciardo on Vettel, just purely for how far back he came from.
Okay, I think we're all done. Rich, who won?
I've no idea.
We need to pick one. Verstappen on Raikkonen.
Yeah, it's Silverstone, but that's my choice. But I don't know. I only remembered it all from watching the highlights today. So.
Go on, Rich. You're the master of ceremonies comes with responsibility. You can't just shun it now.
What do these guys think as well? Oh. These guys haven't.
Yeah, go on. Nathan, have this. Go on. Can you remember any of them?
Not really.
Any Danny Rick one.
Any Danny Rick one?
Yeah, that's fresh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Any Danny Rick.
Go on, Rich. It's yours then, by the sounds of it.
Is it him?
So that's Danny Rick on the one you talked about on Valtteri, wasn't it?
Yeah, Valtteri, yeah.
And in Monza.
China.
Yeah, close enough. Right then, Rich, next.
Drive of the season. So
not driver.
So the person who drove the best race. And I'm not going to put any suggestions forward. I'm going to let because I don't want Callum to complain about me stealing his one.
All right, yeah. Well, come on, Callum, what have you got?
I was going to go for Stoffel van Dorn.
From, yeah, you're going to have to. Never has a man been more contrary. Yeah, Kyle, you see if you can guess which drive this is going to be. Was it last season?
With his earlier guess of the Bahrain as his favourite grand, with the Bahrain race.
Mm-mm.
Damn it!
In the last race of the season, I think he finished 8th, or one of the latter ones in the season. He finished 8th, I think.
I love the fact that we got to the point of guessing why Callum has said Stoffel. Go on.
It was Mexico.
Obviously, that was what Mexico was memorable for. Stoffel van Dorn's drive. Go, tell us, sell it.
Think about it. By that point, it was probably in the worst car on the grid, and yet he finished 8th. I think one place behind Leclerc, and executed the strategy perfectly, and I think beat Alonso. Yeah. Was in a. Yeah, kept the car together. Oh, forget about that then. Yeah, kept the car together, and in a car with, you know, load of drag on one of the most aero efficient dependent circuits on the calendar, he finished 8th.
Fair play, Callum's done a good job
engine.
There.
With a Renault engine.
Good old, that's why we love Callum.
One place ahead of Marcus Ericsson, so I think that says all.
Okay. Kyle's not having it. Alright, well, other options. What have you got? You'll have some suggestions, Kyle. As well.
Slightly out, they've got Gasly's 4th place in Bahrain.
Shout.
Which was looking back today, I thought, hell of a finish. The obvious ones was Danny Rick, Monaco, and Max Aarons.
Max
Aarons. 10 points. Max Austria. So Max Verstappen in Austria as well.
If he was a Formula One driver, he'd be very impressive, I'm sure.
So, but
sorry,
all there,
yeah, that was Max Verstappen in
Austria, winning in front of all his home fans, and just a good race. But I think I'll go for Gasly. Fourth in Bahrain.
It just reminded me of the Max Verstappen stand having their rave post-race with their speakers. That was my favourite sight of the season, I think that was. Any more great... Oh, God.
That reminds me of last year at Austria when they all turned out in their droves and it was like all of Holland had turned up in Spielberg only for him to end up getting taken out in the first corner.
I think all's forgiven, but maybe only just... Any other suggestions?
I think I'll just a couple. Max Verstappen in Brazil. Because I think that was a terrific drive, and qualifying was just the write-off for them. And as you mentioned there, I thought Danny Rick at Monaco. I know Monaco was a dull race, but I think his engine was only at sort of three-quarter strength, and he had Vettel right behind him. And I know it's difficult to overtake, but the concentration required is immense, isn't it? Really.
Hamilton's in Germany from the back to win. It was a wet race as well.
Yeah.
Or finished that way. Yeah.
Woof.
It's a good chance, isn't that?
Yeah.
Arguably.
Which we kind of said at the time, I think, as well. But it wasn't hard. It's them drove into a wall, didn't it?
Yeah.
From second. Idiot.
I'm on Verstappen in Interlagos, Brazil. And Gasly.
Yeah, where was it again?
Bahrain.
Bahrain. Yeah. Bahrain. Okay, some good shouts. Rich? You haven't said one, by the way.
No, the two I had down were Hamilton, Germany, and Ricciardo, Monaco, as well as knowing Gasly. But the way it's gone, I think it's Verstappen or Gasly.
I think we could give it to Pierre. I mean, the thing about Seb driving into a wall is that isn't as big a deal with Hamilton 12th, I suppose, is it? But then he is in, was in such a quick car. Should we give it to Gasly?
That was a different choice,
that,
isn't it?
That was almost a breakthrough performance, really.
It was early on in the season, isn't it? Yeah. Well, he did a few races last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
But, yeah, early in his career. So, yeah.
Pierre?
Gasly.
Shout, love that. Okay, so end of part one, let's have our...
Actually, can I just say...
Oh, yes, of course you can. Always, Callum.
About that Gasly thing, that was... House extraordinaire stuff that he pulled afterwards.
Well, you know, which race? Where are we talking about? In Bahrain.
Because you know, in Australia, Alonso finished whatever was like fifth or something, and said that now we can fight because they had a Renault engine. And then obviously after Bahrain, with Gasly finishing fourth with a Honda engine, he obviously did the same thing.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem. Talk it up.
His little shots fired at Alonso, wasn't it?
Never got any better.
No. Very much the opposite. Right, that's the end of part one of our awards. Make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. Just visit nrf1.uk/pod subscribe. I hope that link's still working. And you'll find all the links you need. I'm going to obviously give this a proper refresh and double check everything over the winter. It's like building a new car. Oh, and desserts just arrived. So that's exciting. Brownies.
Yeah.
Hands go up from Alex. He's very excited. And Nathan too. And Kyle's slipped one in there as well. And we're just about ready. That's good. That's good. It's a good pit stop. That. Well done, boys. Yeah, so we'll refresh the links at the moment. Audio Boom, Google Play, Spreaker, Stitcher, Acast. They're all there. A few more. Spotify, Radio Public should be there too. They will all be sparkly new come the start of next season. And any others that we need to add will be there too. And of course, if your player isn't included, then let us know. Give us a heads up. nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you're listening to us on iTunes and you're on the podcast app or on whatever you do with iTunes now, you can rate and review us, please do, because that's lovely. nrf1.uk/isonitunes is the link, or of course you can check your player and do so right there.
Gingerbread cheesecake,
I missed that one. That's exciting. Well done, Rich. You happy about that?
Yes, definitely. I like cheesecake. I like gingerbread.
Fair play. The brownies look lovely. What have you got there, Steve?
Millionaire's cheesecake.
Oh, I have had that. That's very nice. And then chocolate and raspberry tort. I'm having one of those. Thank you very much. That is all our desserts. We're going to tuck in. Okay, Master of Ceremonies, Richard Baxter. How are you doing?
Good. I just had a gingerbread cheesecake thing.
You did?
It's really nice.
Yeah, people would have heard that about 30 seconds ago. You did take slightly longer to eat it.
Yeah, I did.
Like 45, I think, wasn't it?
I didn't just go full penguin on it and just like... yeah, that.
it was roughly the gap between Alonso and the rest of the Formula One field that took you to it. How was yours, Steve? Was it nice?
Yeah, really nice, yeah.
Happy?
Yeah, good, yeah.
Good old rash cutters. Right, anyway, yes. Master Ceremonies, part two of our awards. We've got four more, haven't we? Is that right?
One, two, three, four more.
Four more. So what are we going to kick off with?
The next one is Radio Connoisseur of the Season.
Okay.
Which is the person who gave us the best radio messages throughout the season.
Whoa.
Two shouts that I picked up on. Alonso for just continually being Alonso and whinging.
Apathy. General apathy from Alonso.
And then Raikkonen for just his usual kind of radio mumblings.
Was it when he won or when he was on pole and they said, oh, you P1, P1, and he was like, thank you. Like, yeah, his first pole in about 25 years.
Raikkonen at Monza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic moment. Okay, any other suggestions for, I mean, we obviously had the one that strikes me as Sebastian Vettel talking about his cock, but it wasn't.
But that was my legs. Where was that?
That was mine.
I forget where it was.
That was quite recent, wasn't
it?
Brazil. So that's a good suggestion. Seb was always good value. He had to apologise a lot as well, didn't he? So, any other ones?
Can you call it the one Kimi in Germany when Vettel was behind him and he tried to make the Ferrari engineers say, let him by? They were just sort of saying, oh, Vettel's behind you. And he's like, tell me what to do. And they're like, just your Vettel's slightly quicker than you or whatever. Like, tell me what to do. And then eventually just wanted that confirmation that...
The thing I picked up at Raikkonen was with the drinks bottle.
Oh, for God's sake.
That is amazing. Go on, Callum, go on.
But it was in Hungary and they forgot to connect the drinks bottle. So I think his engineer came on the radio and said, oh, Kimi, we forgot to connect the drinks bottle. He's like, is it on? No, you don't have the drinks bottle. Yeah, but is it draining the bottle? Yeah, Kimmy, you don't have the drinks bottle.
It is the most frustrating, brilliant radio message. That would be my favourite, actually. Great shout. That was a great shout. Any others? I mean, Max and his engineer are always good fun because they seem to be basically at loggerheads, to be honest.
Especially his engineer in Abu Dhabi when Max was like, listen, listen. It's like, I am listening. You don't need to tell me to listen, all right? And it's just like, oh, so feel the tension now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Hamilton, when he asked if the guy went for a break. When was it? In Japan, yeah.
What was that one?
Yeah. Bonnet, isn't it?
Yeah. When there was no messages on the radio for a while, and basically said, where are you? Have you gone for a break? It's
like, no, I'm still here. I'm still here.
It did sound like he just rushed back as well.
No, I'm definitely still here. I'm good anyway. I swear you can still hear his belt buckling up. Yeah. And just like, shit, rush out with him. Take the headset with
him. The one in Germany when he sort of came in the pits, and he didn't come in the pits, and then he came in the pits. And
Yeah.
I was like, you okay, man?
I finally got the hang of whether he was supposed to have gone in or not. That was the thing that I couldn't quite understand at the time. But they obviously wanted him in, didn't they? But they told him to go out and then in again. No. All right, tell you what, that has brought up... we'll do it after this. So, what are we going... Any other suggestions?
I'm going to suggest Alonso in Hungary. Because I think his engineer suggested that they go out for another run when it was blatantly it down. And he said something along the lines of, I don't care, you'd put a rocket ship on this and we'd still be 11th.
Oh, yeah.
There was another one, and actually, if you there's a video on the F1 app, I think, and probably the website of the best radio messages. So, obviously, Nico Hülkenberg, I'm hanging here like a cow, which you can hear on our last podcast, absolutely, and our live reaction to it is just absolutely priceless. There's another one I missed from Sebastian going, oh, it's okay. He was getting out of the pits, I think. He's like, it's okay, we've got 20 seconds. Sure. Oh, we've got 5 seconds, it's fine. It's like, no, yeah, we'll missed it. They missed it by a second. It's like, wow. I mean, that was a pretty monumental failure, but there we go. So,
if there was anything that could sum up Ferrari's season, that was it.
Yeah. What do you want to give it to Rich?
Well, I don't know. That hasn't helped.
Who wants to make a decision?
Is it throughout the season? So it's not just a one-off.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Who's been the most consistent on the radio?
Alonso.
I'd go Alonso.
Yeah. Alonso.
Yeah. Alonso. Yeah. Send that one to Fernando. He'll like that.
At least he won something this year.
Yeah. Yeah, put that in the tweet.
The endurance championship exists, you know.
Yeah.
Next year.
On his way to the triple crown.
With two other guys.
Well, this is actually what I was going to bring up earlier. Of course, the people that are going to be missing from Formula 1, who is the one we're going to miss most? Who is leaving, I suppose, is the other question. So Sorokin hasn't got a seat anymore, has he? Esteban Ocon's going to be reserve driver. Marcus Ericsson is off to IndyCar. I'm going to be fascinated to see how he does there. Fernando Alonso is, of course, leaving. He's going to Force India, isn't he? So,
of course he is.
Daddy, I need a team! This one's and I can't think of it. Van Dorn is off to Formula E, so that's exciting. Yeah. So, and there may be others we missed. Who are we going to miss most? Is it obvious?
Yeah, it is pretty obvious.
Yeah, the old one. It's got to be Alonso. Going to miss Alonso, isn't it? So,
could you imagine if Ericsson beats Alonso to the Indy 500?
Yes, that's the thing. I can 100%, and I think it would be brilliant. Norfolk's own Marcus Ericsson.
Has there been a Norfolk winner in Indy 500?
Lotus.
Yeah, Lotus have won it.
In terms of drivers, anyway.
Well, a Norfolk driver. I think, did the Furmans, did they drive in Indy? I'd have to check.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I think, yeah. Mm. Yes, Callum, yes. And they would have f***ing won it, because Norfolk's brilliant. Okay, so that's good. Next award.
The next award... Oh.
I've got it.
What have you got, Callum? What?
A Norfolk Indy 500 winner. Montoya. I think you drove for Supernova in Formula 3000.
Norfolk's everywhere. Callum, 10 points, but no extra drink. Rich.
Next one is shunt of the season. Shut
to the what?
Shunt.
I just like putting beeps in.
Season.
Shunt.
He's drunk.
Shunt of the season.
That's just rude.
Had the biggest or best crash. Slash shunt.
Okay, so I know what I want this to be. Who's got other options?
I've got three written down, but I'll let you pass it around the room before.
Okay, well, time's pressing, so let's rattle through them.
Go on. This is so very American, and to be honest, I want no part of it. But the thing is that we're all going to be in agreement that it's Grosjean.
That was the one where he blamed it on Ericsson is probably monumental. I assume is the one you mean.
Well, there's one of four, really. I mean, there's that. There's. I mean, there's that, and there's Spain when he decided he was going to make a cloud of smoke so nobody else could see him.
You're just making it fun, guys.
And there sprinklers, I can do better than that.
There was Paul Ricard where he managed to lose it and crash into the barrier on the other side of the circuit.
There's a lot of lines around there.
And there was there was Silverstone where he decided to go into the first corner with his DRS open, which was obviously a good idea.
It's any wonder he's still got a seat, really, isn't it, Kyle?
He's a nice man.
Yeah. Have you got a Grosjean on the back of your jacket? No, don't.
No.
The suggestions, you've got a few.
Probably, well, the Red Bull Baku crash was quite a big moment,
yes.
I thought. Pretty much summed up his year was Bottas, I thought, crashing and qualifying in Australia, which didn't really know at the time, but it seemed to sort of sum up his year going on. Also, probably Hartley's crash in Silverstone. Sort of spectacular, I think, the suspension.
The Buemi.
Yeah, similar to the Buemi in China all these years ago. So that was quite a big one. And also the first corner crash at Spa was pretty epic.
Yes,
so, but I think Grosjean and Baku just his engineer's radio message.
And well done, Halo. I think we should say that at this point, shouldn't we? Because I think it has made an actual safety. Were you roughing your? Well done, Halo. You're not having well done, Halo. Even though it basically saved someone getting hit in the visor. With this season,
was it a bit of wing?
Yeah, it was Alonso's front wing on Leclerc.
So that would have bounced off the visor.
I'm wondering if her helmet would have.
Well, the extent of the injuries would have been debatable. It's just the fact that he would have been hit.
I feel bad, but I'm still not convinced by the Halo.
Fine, it's different opinions. We're allowed them, Carl. Don't worry about that. Any more crash suggestions?
Well, the three I had written down was Hulkenberg and Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
So that was massive.
I'm hanging like a cow.
And the thing that really got me, though, when he was there, you heard him on the radio, that suddenly reminds you how scary it must be, because you could hear it in his voice. He was clearly panicking. He was like, there's fire, get me out. And I felt so sorry for the guy, because he must have been so scared in there. But ultimately, he walked away and he was fine. So it's crazy. The other one, which I forgot about until I wrote this down, Ericsson in Monza, I think it was in practice.
Oh yeah,
yes.
And
it was big.
That was
a problem.
Massive,
flip, wasn't it?
Yeah, nose over tail stuff. And then Spa that we've had, the first corner, Leclerc, Alonso, and Hülkenberg, and Leclerc just on the radio was like, "Oh, what happened? What did he do?"
I think Spa is a good shout.
Whose fault was that again? I can't. There's somebody at the back. The whole was Hülkenberg.
Is it not Grosjean's?
Yeah.
I just thought we were giving it to Grosjean. Any more suggestions? No? Okay. I wanted to suggest Sebastian Vettel driving into a wall in Germany, because that was stupid. But shall we say, well.
Yeah, there's driving into a wall in wet conditions, and there's driving into a wall under a safety car.
Well, this is true. This is very true. So, go on. What, Rich, do you want to go for it?
Let's have a vote, because I've got another one lined up.
Go on.
For that Grosjean incident, but we can count
is it
that.
Ericsson by any chance?
Okay, so what would you just Spa?
Spa, yeah.
Spa.
I'll go Spa.
Yeah.
Yep, we're giving it to Spa. I don't know who we're getting, so we'll send that to Hülkenberg.
It's for his fault. It's a three.
Well done for creating the best crash of the year. There you go. That's how you word it.
Three-way winners. I'll put that there.
Yeah, link them all in. Why not?
Well, if
it takes two to tango, or three. Okay, and so our penultimate award, Rich?
Rage of the season. So the person who had the best Vettel Mexico moment.
Verstappen.
Oh. Yeah, after the...
Brazil?
Yeah, with...
Ocon.
That's it,
That was proper.
Literally showing him around in the paddock.
Kind of reminded me of Schumacher days.
Coulthard.
Got that race on VHS somewhere.
VHS. Oh, cool, let's go.
20 years later.
I'm digging that out.
Great shout, probably a winner. Any other suggestions, though?
You've got road rage, you've got Perez in Singapore, wasn't it? He was just swerving into.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, that's a good shout.
He was nutcase. So, yeah.
He went rogue.
Yeah. Who the hell was that too? Was that Stroll or Sorokin?
That was
his teammate at the first corner.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, Sorokin's on top.
Sorokin, yeah.
Just crash into him.
Love that. Any other suggestions? There was Charles Leclerc getting a bit... Charles Leclerc. Lee Clark. Magnussen is and will always be stupid. Shame.
There was a few targeted to it. I think Alonso had a few goes at Magnussen during the year. Yeah, so yeah.
Everyone's always had a go at Magnussen.
Yeah. Well, suck his balls. He does not give a sh. So that's a good shout. Any other shout?
This is definitely not Rage of the Season, given the options before this. But worthy mention was Fernando Alonso and Paul Ricard. Because I think he got overtaken on the outside by Vettel and spun round, more or less on his own accord. And his engineer said, "Oh, do you have damage?" Like, yeah, I for sure hope he has damage, because Vettel hit me.
That was another one there. They couldn't crack him radio messages. I love that one. Okay, well, what do you reckon, Rich?
The one I had down was Verstappen.
That'll be a good one to link on Twitter. Lucky Max, congratulations.
What should he do for his community service, though?
Well, he did have suggestions himself, didn't he? But I don't know, really. I mean, probably clean Daniel Ricciardo's empty office.
I'll put it to him to come on here as his community service.
Sure, we'll get that.
I think they're supposed to be safe driving briefings for young drivers, which is ironic.
But Max, you did this with Lance Stroll in that. Right, our final award, Rich. Well done, by the way, Master of Ceremonies, doing a cracking job.
The final one, which this is one I kind of was leaning to earlier, was Maldonado Moments of the Season. We don't need much explaining, but basically the person who had the biggest fail. And I mean, there's a few drivers and there's a few races down for them, so I'll put Grosjean out there, and there's obviously quite a few moments. And Vettel as well, for there's a fair few moments.
Okay, so for me, there's Grosjean driving into a wall on his own and blaming Marcus Ericsson, and there's Sebastian Vettel driving into a wall in the wet in Germany. So they would be the two suggestions. Have we got any other suggestions? Go on, Callum.
In Baku, it wasn't Grosjean that blamed it on Ericsson, it was his engineer.
Oh yeah, true.
So actually, you probably want to give it to Ayo Komatsu.
Okay.
You could argue in the Australian Grand Prix, I don't know if he's a front left guy who messed up twice.
Oh yeah.
When they're running fourth and fifth.
Yes. That's true. That was an epic fail.
Yeah.
And would that have? Do you know how many points that was? And would it have made a difference now?
Fourth and fifth, or?
Yeah, it was 22 points they lost from that. Yeah.
That made a difference in their standings.
Minus whatever.
You have a little look if you can. We'll work out if that's a great shout, though. I like that one.
And that caused a safety car. So
it fundamentally altered the course of the entire season.
They finished 29 points behind Renault.
So not quite.
How many did Renault get?
But then if you factor in that and the disqualifications.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, wish them.
So Haas in general probably had our biggest fail, because they should have finished fourth, fifth, and
they're probably the fourth quickest car, don't they? And finished fifth in the championships. So.
Then that's probably quite harsh as well. But
yeah.
Did you see the video?
Any other?
Hülkenberg was seventh, and Sainz was tenth.
That's 7 points. Oh, 29 points. What? So that one race cost them fourth. Basically.
How many millions is that?
That's a swing of 35. Mm. No, it's probably about 10 million ish. Yeah. But it's 35 points.
Still employed there, is he?
Is he Carl? Yeah. Is he missing a jacket?
Apparently it's too early to joke about it.
Yeah. It will never be not early to joke about it. Okay, well, that's a great. Haas in general is a great shout. But Rich, the final award?
Shall we give it to Haas?
I think we have decided to.
Combination of Grosjean and. Yeah.
They blew it. All that season of effort, and they blew it. So look forward to writing that one. Rich, don't maybe tag Carl into that tweet.
I might print it off, and if you want to give it to your uncle, and
he can drop it in. They'd like that.
You get a picture with them. You know, like how Hamilton and the team have got this in the factory, and the drivers and the team, everyone's standing there. Could we get one of them, do you reckon, with just this award at the front?
Yeah, well, at least they've won something.
I'm sure they're not doing anything better.
Yeah. If only it had been a slightly different award. Okay, brilliant work, Rich. Well done on your Master of Ceremonies, and top work. Round of applause, everything, blah, blah, etc.
That was fun to do. So
it was a brilliant way of doing the review. Have we missed anything from all that? Is there anything anyone else wants to say on the 2018 season? Because clearly we haven't really spoken about Lewis's. But then we've talked so much about all of it over the course of the season, so it's not like we're really missing any holes. But anything that stand out that people want to say in terms of who really shone and who excited them and who did the business?
I mentioned for Hülkenberg for being best of rest. It's sort of typical Hülkenberg career. It's nothing spectacular. He's just kind of
rather good.
Just consistent, isn't he, through the season? But
Le Mans winner. And actually, it was interesting going through the prediction league results and how people were predicting, because he was the one where people were betting against him, yet generally he was doing well, and the final results stack up as well, so that's a decent shout. Renault were a bit of a funny bag, weren't they, over the course, but I don't know if they really delivered what we expected of them, but there we go.
It depends on whether or not you're Ped.
Yes, yeah, well, this is true. Good old Ped. Anything else, anyone? That's
George Russell. It's exciting.
So. We're getting on to it, Rich, don't worry. We're going to look ahead.
Can I say, and I'm not normally one to bang the drum about nationalities, but this has actually been a rather good year for British motorsport. Because if you think about it, there's a British Formula 1 world champion, there's a British Formula 2 champion, a British Formula 2 runner-up, and the guy who finished third is born in London, albeit with a Thai licence, and sadly from Ipswich.
Did he finish? He didn't finish second in the championship in the end.
Second was Norris.
Oh, okay.
And in what is going to be Formula 3, Callum Ilott was second, third, something like that. Then Gary Paffett won DTM and Jenson Button won Super GT.
It's all back on, Kyle, from our well, in fairness, from talking about saying Lewis is the only British driver on the grid, it's going to look very different as next year. Sorry, was that what you were going to say, Rich?
That's all right. I was going to say it brings up a good point, because last year we had, obviously this year even, just one British driver, and we were thinking, what's the future holding? And then suddenly out of nowhere,
it's very bright.
It's looking good. Yeah.
Exactly, which we will get onto in a moment.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So this is very exciting. After an entire season of basically going sorry, which is what it's been, for various reasons, it's clearly been a rather up and down year, and I appreciate everyone's support through that time. And we've kept going. We've produced all the podcasts, which was clearly the most important thing. But alas, we weren't quite able to keep tabs on the Prediction League as regularly as we would have liked. And of course, Steve just went and binned it off anyway. But I'm delighted to say that in terms of the winners for each Grand Prix and the Patreon standings, they are complete. I can make the announcements and the winners here and now, which is very exciting. So of course we've all had a go at predicting, making up to 5 predictions ahead of each Grand Prix weekend. We've also done it at the very start of the season and the mid-season break as well. So it's open to everyone, but the priority has always been and had to be for the Patreons. So if you go over to patreon.com, patreon.com/NRF1, you can join our club, you get exclusive podcasts, and it also at certain tiers buys you entry into the Prediction League. It's something we'll continue next year. Next year we'll be all over it regularly, I assure you it will happen. And what it of course does mean if you're a Patreon is that you're entered into our prize, so that if you make the best predictions, the best scoring predictions after each Grand Prix weekend, you would win a £5 gift voucher for either motorsport-merchandise.com or the classic Team Lotus shop. And I have collated all of these scores, and we have both those winners and our overall winners. So here we go. Now, I had done some of them and announced some of them earlier on in the season, but I'm going to go through them now. So Australia was a split between Maxwell Kerry, Steve Rust and Stuart Muller. How about that? You picked up 1.67 of a voucher each, although someone had to get 1.66. Of course, the idea is that the totals by the end of the season, you can get a discount. You don't have to buy something for £1.67. There wouldn't be anything, to be honest, I imagine. So well done. That was for Australia. In Bahrain, it was Maxwell Carey and Kieran Cousins who split the fiver. So well done, guys. China, Dave Tillier. And I think it was with the only round he actually offered a prediction in. I don't think he was in Florida then. So he went out that weekend. Well done. Azerbaijan, which is, of course, absolutely unpredictable. So completely nuts. So that's probably a backhanded compliment to Nick Holder, who won the £5 gift voucher for that weekend. Spain, it was Kyle. Oh, wow. Well done, Kyle. Monaco, which was dull as dishwater and a complete gimmick. Steve, you won that one. Well done. You got £5 voucher for that one. Now, this won't probably please Callum at all, because I've already been accused of a conflict of interest. But I then had a brilliant run. Sorry, Callum. So I actually topped it in Canada and France and shared it with you, just to appease you.
What?
In Austria. It wasn't just to appease you, but we shared it in Austria. Then Britain. Rich, you won in Britain. Well done. Congratulations. How do you feel?
I got one right. I'm delighted.
It was just one prediction, I think. Germany. Perry Hamilton won that one. Well done, Ped. Hungary. Alex, you were top of the crew nice. That one. Look at the way his face lit up. Lovely. So that was the first half of the season. Then into the second half of the season, Belgium, it was Perry. So that was his second win in three weekends. Italy, Maxwell Carey won again. That was his third victory-ish. Singapore, this is where it kicked in. And it was really interesting doing the prediction standings because this is where Callum went, okay, I'm on this now. So Callum, you won in Singapore and in Russia. He's looking very smug now. Kyle, you won in Japan, 10 points. So that was your second victory, well done. USA went to Maxwell again, top stuff. Mexico was Callum again. Steve, you rocked up and then won Brazil, and you didn't even give a shit about that one. You look at your face.
I don't even remember giving
you any predictions.
You
don't even remember giving the predictions. And Abu Dhabi was yours, Alex. 10 points. So, cool. As we go through the actual standings, Kieran Cousin, you are owed £2.50 to spend at a voucher to spend. We'll be in touch with all the winners, of course. Kyle, you won a fiver. Well done. 10 points. Rich, you did as well, as did Nick Holder and Dave Tillier for his one prediction round. Steve, Alex, Perry all have £10 to spend, and Maxwell Carey and myself actually have £12.50 to spend, and Callum £17.50. I mean, that's probably a Jensen Button cap.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, if
look at his face. It's so happy. Doesn't work for audio, but still.
I don't know if I can get stuff off of Kunimitsu gear, then I'm going for it.
Love it.
So we'll be in touch with all of you guys over the next month or so. Just setting a nice wide deadline for myself. That's sort of the other side of Christmas. To settle all those and just the logistics of how it will work. But thank you everyone for getting involved, for being a Patreon and joining in with the Prediction League. The full standings, including, and I was going to flag this up. So a big thank you to guys. Let me get through this to everyone. All the podders who, of course, predicted regularly. So that's Perry, Melissa. Who else isn't here? Well, Phil Gray isn't here either, is he? But also the Dats Life podcast guys, Sam Todd, your brother Dan, Callum Danceringle, Stuart Webber had a couple of goes, Kieran Cousins, Kurt S, and I think that's everyone. Just for getting involved, as I said, we'll have the full standings up very soon. It's been a brilliant, has actually been a brilliant year of predictions. It's just a shame we couldn't keep on top of it with each passing weekend, but we will do that next year, I can assure you of that. So the final standings at the end of the season, if I was to go round about it in a backwards order, for the record, the highest percentage in terms of a successful weekend went to DT, who had entered one round and managed to get 83.3% of his predictions right in that one round.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Yeah. 83, geez.
Yeah. Fortunately,
he retired after that.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Which is why I had to bring Rosberg. an algorithm. You're exactly right, Rosberg. Yeah. That's why he's gone to Florida. Literally, he's cut his ties. Most kudos points this season, which is obviously a normal running battle. I'm looking at Rich because hashtag points whore. 52 this year, Rich. Brilliant score, 52. But it's not the highest. Kyle, 56.
Wow. Hell. Sorry, Rich.
Tremendous effort from the Oracle. We haven't called you that for a while.
It's been a while for that.
Yeah. And so in terms of our standings, in terms of the patrons, 18th, Dave Tillier, 17th, Stuart Webber, 16th, Dan Springle, 15th, Nathan. Well done, Nathan. Top work. 14th, Stuart. 13th, Phil Gray. So Phil, Stuart, Nathan, you all guys were quite late to the party, so that's probably played an impact, because ultimately the more predictions you put in, the better you're going to do. That is also how it works. 12th was Melissa. Well done, Melissa. 11th, Alex. Again, 10 points because you came to us a bit late. 10, Perry Hamilton, because he really couldn't be so that's a pretty good score, really. Someone else who also couldn't be Steve, 9th. I mean, you don't give a
well, there's not much point now, is there? I missed so many, so there wasn't much point in me.
Running like God. McLaren right here. Running like McLaren. Yeah, three seasons of glory.
I'll try harder next year to remember.
Are you sure? Yeah.
Remember before Friday.
As long as you do. Now, here's someone I missed. I knew I'd missed one. Andy Whitney, 8th. One of our patrons. Top work, Andy. Relentlessly. And he also sent his own results, which is very helpful. Which, of course, I check. But Andy, top work, mate. Brilliant stuff. 8th. You should be proud of that. Rich, you were 7th. 10 points. Darren Johnson, he's another one I missed. I knew I'd missed them. Darren, again, relentless in terms of his predictions and an excellent sixth. And actually, with a few weeks to go, he was properly in the title running. So, excellent season, Darren. I was fifth. I've been second the last three or four years. So, basically, I've done really poorly. I was going very well mid-season. So, you know, if it's any consolation to everyone, my own prediction season just fell off a cliff too. Kyle, you were fourth. That's pretty good.
It's not bad, it's
in a competitive field. Nick Holder was an excellent third. Maxwell Kerry was leading right until the final weekend in Abu Dhabi. Brilliant work from Maxwell, but he finishes second. And our winner, with a percentage correct of 50.2%, so more half more right than wrong, a tally, therefore, of 56.5%. Don't ask me how that works out. 21 kudos points, that's all right. And a eventual score of 124.3, which was, just bearing in mind, Steve, you won last season with 135.6, so it was less. But that's okay. Callum Springall, you are the winner. Congratulations, a round of applause for Callum. Well done, everyone. Double fist pump there from Callum. He knows how to win well.
I feel like Kimi Räikkönen now.
Yeah. Are you just going to go thank you, or is there anything else you want to say?
No, not really.
Brilliant. We haven't got a trophy, which maybe we should have for next year. What do you think? Should we have a trophy or something for next year? We'll do a, what we'll do, let's do it now. Let's take the picture of an empty glass. Kyle, you can hand it over. We'll take this picture now, because then what it means is we're bringing audio together with a Peroni vase. There's a lovely smile. Look at the camera. Well done, everyone. That is just beautiful. Well done. You're looking good, guys. That is a wonderful moment in NRF1 history. So well done, Callum. 10 points. We will all most definitely aim to smash you in the prediction league next year in a nice way, not physical violence. So, of course, the Prediction League will be back next year. Make sure you check out patreon.com/NRF1 to get involved, because it's going to be epic next year. I cannot wait for it. So, what we're going to check now, all being well, he says, is the Fantasy League. Yeah, what time is it, Kyle? Oh, we're getting late, aren't we? The Fantasy League scores. So, first year of Fantasy League in F1, how did everyone find it? Callum, tell us your story.
Well, for the first sort of 10-11 races, I was quite keen on it, and I was actually looking at it pretty much every race and making changes for the majority of them, and I was doing fairly well despite the fact that Ped was basically dousing it and putting the same team out race after race after race, and still leading. But yeah, I've not even checked it since like September, to be honest.
It does feel a bit like that. Rich, what was your story?
Basically, it's one of those things. It's kind of what Callum said, like when you do for example a football fantasy league, you have to be on it every week because you have to check for injuries and who's not on form and things and players that aren't playing. But in Formula One, I mean, if a driver changes, then you know about it, you know, weeks in advance usually, so you've got time. Whereas, so I wasn't even on there every week with the Formula One. It was just kind of every few weeks, wonder how the league's going, have a look. Yeah.
So, I mean, I was really looking forward to this, but I have to admit, after a week or two, I just kind of lost interest in it. And that's a shame. But did anyone else partake and really enjoy it?
I have to say, it was still enjoyable. I still enjoyed it and watching the races and thinking, oh, yes, Verstappen got pole and he finished in the top three or whatever. That's great for my fantasy team. It adds a little extra bit.
I remember at one point quite early on, I looked at the standings. I was in like the top 1,000 for, I think it was either the UK or the world. So that was quite exciting.
Never change, Callum. That's very good. Top 1,000 in the world. Well, how many entries were there?
Hundreds of thousands, probably.
That's all right, then. I'll let you off. Alex, go on. How did your team get on?
With an NRF1, I was last.
Were you?
Yes, I wasn't.
Oh. What did you go for changing it regularly or not bothering?
Probably the first time, and that's it. I left it there.
Yeah.
I don't even know who was my team, to be honest. That's my look.
You were late to...
I'm very late, yes. So very late.
Oh, fair enough.
I mean, Hartley, Van Dorn, was that your team?
Yeah.
I had Ericsson.
Mind you, we probably did by the end of it. We kept putting Roman back in, didn't we? And that was... I think that was just to wind Perry up, to be honest.
He, to be honest, had a pretty good end to the season. The second half of the season. Yeah.
That was one of the predictions was for Roman to outscore various people, and I think people tended to get that right. much to Perry's consternation. So let's have a look. So effectively, our, because we had an NRF1 team, didn't we, as well, that we were going to do as a kind of democratic union, but then we just couldn't be bothered to really update it.
That was even worse than your team.
Yes, yeah.
Which was saying something, really. So, for example, in the Global League, the NRF1 team, that finished 143,074th out of 192,000th. And I'd say generally we were in the bottom quarter of all leagues everywhere. So, you know, what are you to do with that? That's pretty brilliant, isn't it? So, and we also, of course, had our own league. There are obviously a few different podcast prediction leagues out there, but in terms of our public league, which is probably the best one going, Alex, as you said, Alex Italian GP, I presume that's you, you were bottom, and then it was the NRF1 podcast team, 11th out of 12th, Furiosa, I don't know who that is, this is the problem with this,
is that DT?
No, he was something else,
Florida. Then it was me, so that's obviously pretty rubbish. Max Kerry was better at predictions in the Fantasy League. He finished 8th. Tom, Back of the Grid podcast. Hello there, Tom. He was 7th. VDR. Well done, VDR. You were 6th. Q Racing. That's you, isn't it?
That's me, yes.
Kyle, well done. 5th. Vettel to the Metal.
That's me.
That's you, Callum. You were 4th. Greenwood Festival of Speed. They were an excellent 3rd.
If that is the actual Lord March, I'd be quite impressed.
Let's hope it is. Maybe he listens. Kimmy a break.
That was me.
That's you, is it, Rich? You were 2nd, which means Taking Liberty, which is Ped, what? Isn't it? Ped won the thing. Ped won the thing. Ped, we're all raising a glass to you in your Fantasy League's success, apart from Callum, who's just swearing.
Can you see his team?
Let's have a look. Possibly. Taking Liberty. Let's see if we have a... have a look at Ped's team that he basically didn't change. He had Lee Clark, Max, Kimi, Valtteri, Fernando and Red Bull. That's decent, isn't it?
That's quite
we never had a team that looked that cohesive. So there we go. Well, obviously, mixed bag in terms of the Fantasy League. I'm sure we'll do it all again with renewed vigour next year, he says, with not much renewed vigour. Okay, so 2019, we've got to look ahead very briefly, of course, because it's been a long night already and we haven't got the coffees out yet. I did notice, it dropped in my inbox today, but Pirelli have confirmed the compounds for the first 4 races of next year. Apparently it's going to be soft, medium and hard. Who knew?
And the 5 categories of C1 to C5.
Yeah, I didn't really look
that's
that far.
Exciting.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's good. Of course,
it's shown again that they've made a really good way of making something that's complicated even less complicated by making it more complicated.
I mean, but as far as we all know, there is a hard, a soft, and a medium. That's all we're going to really need to worry about. Carl, you're our tyre expert, tyre correspondent. Are you excited about the tyre situation for next season?
Yeah, it makes it easier, doesn't it? For everybody. So,
will it make it better, though, in terms of the racing? Do you expect no change in terms of what they've done? Because, you know, it has played a part in the past.
No, I imagine it'll probably still be mostly one-stop races. But it'll still be easy to follow instead of hyper softs and ultra softs and hards and
I'm gonna miss that.
Yeah, everything else. So
hyper hard and
yeah,
hard.
I'm trying to work out the difference between the
medium.
Trying to work out the difference between the purple, the pink, and the purple will also be a little bit easier.
Oh, that's a shame though. Those rainbow pictures of all the tyres looked really good. Okay, anything else other than the tyres we're looking forward to next year? What are we looking forward to next year? Final hurrahs, cars. People. Finally, go on, Alex.
New cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they going to look exactly the same as the old cars?
Yes and no. Basically, yes, but with a little bit of tweaks around.
But okay.
Not much more, yeah.
Is it fair to say that Force India, Racing Points, Force India, whatever they're called, they're going to have a different name, aren't they? I think that's what they've said. It'll be something else. And also livery and things. So that's exciting, Callum.
Well, yeah, they changed it from Force India to Racing Point and then announced that it's going to be changed from Racing Point to something else.
Yes.
So
maybe it'll be the walking weapon F1 team. Daddy, name it after me.
Daddy's team.
Yeah. Lord Lawrence.
If it is that, I will be getting a lawyer who's going to get in touch with them and at least get some free tickets.
Well you could for rich energy, you could as well, I reckon, somehow.
Yeah, I mean, how dare they say I'm full of energy?
How dare they? So that's, of course, the new sponsor of Haas. They'll do all right next year, won't they, Kyle? Or have they kind of blown a gasket now?
Who knows? But I mean, we were probably a little bit harsh on them. They did have a very good season this year.
Well, you were.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully it's still, yeah, they continue their progress. So, and the same drive lineup. I think them and Mercedes are only two teams. Possibly.
Yeah, there are a lot. You know, we've a lot of mixed up situations in terms. Who do we think is going to shine? Who are we excited to see in their new surroundings next year?
Leclerc.
Leclerc.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Charles Leclerc. And shout out to all the British drivers as well. See how they get on. And also Danny Rick as well. How will that work? And Carlos as well in McLaren.
Yeah, so Carlos Sainz at McLaren, Danny Ricciardo is at Renault.
Kubica.
Yeah.
Robert Kubica, of course.
Be looking forward to seeing him come back.
Exactly, that's very true. And interesting that Sebastian Vettel called Charles Leclerc a good guy. So that's just, you know, just massage your ego there, Charles, before I try and beat you. Let's hope it's more successful than when he came up against Danny.
You are forgetting one name, Pierre Gasly.
Yes, alongside Max. Which could be quite lively, considering Pierre was in a bit of a strop, wasn't he, for periods of the second half of the season.
I think, they could be a bit fiery in their partnership, which is always good to watch.
Yeah, so Steve's just pointing something. Bernie Eccleston says he tried to buy Silverstone. Was that while he was still in charge of F1?
I think it's quite ironic, considering he's the reason why the Silverstone's in the situation that they're in.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he didn't engineer it. I would never say that. No Bernie next year, although I haven't seen his goatee properly. I was kind of looking forward to seeing that in his new look.
He's tried the Damon Hill, hasn't he? The retired Damon Hill, anyway.
My mate Damon. Anything else we're looking forward to? Anything else exciting?
One of the drivers I'm actually quite interested to see, I know we kind of joke about it a lot, but is Stroll. He's going to Force India, who have been much more consistently a front-running team than Williams have in the last couple of seasons. We saw last season, especially at Williams, he had some quite mature drives, some good results. So I'm interested to see what he could possibly do with Force India, or question mark, whatever they're going to be called.
That dynamic of that team is going to be nuts, to have, you know, daddy's son and then Sergio. I mean, it's bizarre.
The team itself, can they keep moving forward? Because there was a lot of doubt this season especially, but they still managed to move forward, well, until obviously the difficulties this mid-season, but they had a quick car. I mean, Haas as well, what can they do? If they make a jump like they did from last season to this, then what can they do
during their season of great failure? And of course, probably last but certainly by no means least, because I'm thinking next season when we do the podcast, which of course will be on Audio Boom as usual, and all the feeds thereafter, and of course on Patreon, and we might need a new section of like the Norfolk corner, because we have George Russell, Norfolk's own, Wisbeach, which we're fully claiming as Norfolk, Norfolk's own George Russell, who won the F2 championship this year. He is going to be racing for Williams alongside Robert Kubica, and then Alex Albon, who has been promoted almost out of nowhere to a degree, for those maybe who haven't been watching F2, into the Toro Rosso seat alongside
Danny Kvyat,
thank you. And he is basically managed in Norwich. He's going to be in the vicinity quite a lot, and we're definitely claiming him as our own Norfolk boy. He's a Norfolk boy from now, even though he might be from Ipswich or grew up in Ipswich, and also drives under a Thai license. We're not worried about that. That's just semantics. This is really exciting. We've obviously had the Caterham days, but this is something else now. This is two Norfolk drivers, and what are they going to do? Can we get really partisan, or is it going to be whatever?
Sorry, I drifted off a bit there.
Brilliant, Steve. That's
right. I have to be honest.
It's a bit like your prediction league campaign, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Reply to that.
That's right. No, you think about one. Does anyone else remember the question? Callum?
Yeah.
Go on, Rich.
I had an answer in mind, and then Steve said that he forgot the question, so subsequently I also forgot the question. Yeah,
this is, we are at the end of the season. I think we can all tell what's happened here. Rich?
I think they can both be successful in their first season. I think it might take a little bit of time to kind of get used to it, but to be honest, I think both of them will finish the season in double points figures.
Cool. What is success? Is it also against their teammates as well?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they both, you know, compare at least well to their teammates, and aren't, you know, it's not like this season how Van Dorn Alonso was, where it was, what was it, 20-0 or something in qualifying.
Yeah, never beat him, did he?
21. That's it, 21. Mm. So if they can, you know, if, as long as it's, you know, they can at least come up with a decent comparison, they'll be okay. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them both in the points in the first five races. We know they're quick drivers, so
We are going to be all over their case next year. And of course, at McLaren, Lando Norris, which is also exciting. Obviously not from Norfolk. We haven't found a Norfolk connection yet. But he would have raced at Snetterton a lot. So I think we could probably claim him for our own as well.
I think he did win a Ginetta Junior race at Snetterton.
Brilliant. That'll definitely do it.
Name a corner after him.
Well, why not? Yeah. They pretty much have everyone else. But, you know, no, good old Jonathan Palmer. Great idea. It was a great marketing exercise and it worked. Brilliant. So we can't wait to see Alex Albon and George Russell strut their stuff in Formula One next year. That's why we here at Norfolk do a Formula One podcast, because it's the best county in the world and we love Formula One. Obvious. So brilliant. Well, we had a great year. I think what we've done this year is we've learned how to do stuff and how it's worked. And I cannot wait for next year, because I think we're going to put that all into practice. We've got a couple of little things in place to maybe thrust upon you listeners in a nice way. There may be extra content and things throughout next season. 2019 is going to be aces and we cannot wait for it. To keep track of us, to find the final standings of the Prediction League season, just check out all our social media channels. patreon.com/nrf1 is definitely a place to check out for your involvement next season, and of course the website nrf1.uk. but I think that pretty much covers everything we've got. And I reckon for the 2018 season, we are done. Everyone's quite tired and ready to go home. It's been a long season, hasn't it, Kyle?
Yeah, but it's been enjoyable. And thank you, Michael, for all your hard work.
Oh, bless you. Well, thank you very much. I couldn't do it without all you guys, because literally me talking to myself for an hour would be So thank you all very much. It's been an absolute pleasure as always, and of course not just these guys but everyone who's been on the podcast throughout the year, everyone who sent an email, posted a tweet, posted a prediction, told us that our fantasy team is however you've got in contact with us, we always appreciate it, we love it, and we hope it continues long into 2019. But we're going to have a winter off, just a few weeks, maybe enjoy Christmas, let dinner settle, because that was nice. Well done, the Rush Cutters. Thank you, the Rush Cutters. We did have to pay for it, by the way. And we'll be back on the other side. I don't know when. We've got testing, obviously, and I don't know if I want to know this, really, but testing in January?
I think it's end of January, start of February. Yeah, it's
21 race season next year?
Yeah. With...
Is there a new one?
There is one. I think there is one new one, isn't there?
Is there?
They move it back to the following year.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
So it's just the same again.
20 years ago.
Yeah, Vietnam. Well, let's hope they don't ditch Silverstone for that. We should go to Silverstone next year. We'll see which race we go to. We didn't go to one this year, so 2019 is the year to head back to the track.
I want to look at Monza tickets as well. They're not on sale yet, though.
I've been to Monza.
Well, Alex, you're getting married back at home, just north of Monza, 2020. But is it? It's not the Grand Prix weekend, is it?
Nah. Grand Prix weekend is normally the first weekend of September.
When's the wedding?
The 8th of August. So
we could just stay there for a month.
Yeah, I could do.
Let's do it! Hey, road trip!
Make it like a late stag do.
Yeah. Post. Has anyone ever had a post wedding stag do? I don't think that's the idea at all.
We did it with my best mate.
He had a post. Oh, this is too late for this conversation. He had a post wedding stag do.
He had a child, so he didn't have very much free time.
Well, he's got it all back to front there then.
And he was working, and yeah, so.
What about a stag do? And we go watch Formula One. That would be a best stag do.
Yes. Well, can we go to Monza in 2019 as your stag do, like a year before the wedding?
Yeah, it's fine.
If you're not going to do the wedding during the week, yeah?
That's right.
Alex,
I'm done.
Do they do stag do's in Italy?
Yes, a lot. Yeah.
A lot. At least 12. Okay, I think we know where this is descending, so let's kick our heck out of it. Good night from myself. Good night, everyone, again. Thank you so much to everyone involved. Steve, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for your help. Good night, Alex.
When I'm out there, good night.
Oh. Good night, Rich.
Bye.
I think you can give us an Italian dish then, but you did.
Gnocchi.
Alex is clapping, so you're fine. That's okay.
That's my like Del Boy Italian language.
So. You keep digging. Nathan, thank you so much.
Buenas noches.
Oh, lovely. Stuart.
Good night.
Well done, because the pressure was on. Callum.
Oh, I've got to carry on the foreign theme now, haven't I?
Arigato
gozaimasu.
What? I don't know what you just said.
It's Japanese.
Well done. Oh, that's far too high brow for us. Yeah. Carl, what you got?
That's good. Cheerio.
That's proper Norfolk. Proper Norfolk. Yeah. Cheerio.
Please note, I didn't say bye. I just said pasta potato. So I don't know what translates.
Rich, stop talking. We're going to put Rich out to pasture for the winter. We'll see you on the other side when we're back for another fantastic year of Formula One. Regardless whether the racing or not, you know that we'll be back and we're going to enjoy ourselves, and hopefully you enjoy it too. Until then, have a cracking winter, happy Christmas, happy new year. We'll see you on the other side. Bye.
No.
I mean, if you weren't offended by the Italian national anthem with food, then
that's okay.
We sang.
He was good.
Still recording, Rich. Mic drop.